It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woo-hooer, a hand clapper, a high-fiver? I kind of like the high-five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino-style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses, so don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18+.
Exciting edition of the Thought Police. Now, you would have thought last week's editions were sort of, you know, crazy enough with Labour Party conference, you know, the prorogation of Parliament not being allowed anymore.
Just when you thought it couldn't get worse.
Come back and then have a row about nothing at all. Yeah. Have a row about something that didn't happen, right? Yeah. They get told, actually, prorogation didn't happen. I should say that you're Matt Kelly and I'm Mike Graham.
I am.
For anyone who hasn't
I'm
known.
I'm the editor of the New European.
And I've got some, you are, and there's some great news, by the way, coming in from parts, foreign parts. Apparently, the Thought Police, as a podcast, is banned in China.
That's fantastic.
Isn't that great news?
Wonderful.
I mean, you must be doing something right if you're getting banned in China.
The Chinese state has clamped down on Mike Graham and Matt Kelly.
And I've got...
Will we still be able to get Chinese food, though?
Well,
like
I think
that?
So. Yeah. My one of my spies over there, one of the guys that listens to our podcast...
You've got spies in China? You better be really careful about how you say all this
shit. Well, when I say spies, maybe I shouldn't give his name.
No, you better not.
He's put, well, he'll put it on Twitter.
He'll
though.
Be get banged up in a
cell.
Yeah,
good idea. Actually,
tied to a radiator.
I'll wait till he comes home before I say who it was. But he tweeted me, he said, I'm in China, and if the Thought Police is banned, you can't get it.
Amazing.
Yeah.
Are we just one of... many hundreds.
I don't think they've just singled us out. But you never know. I mean, you've got to worry about some of these.
We've never mentioned China up until now.
I don't think we have.
Maybe that's why they banned us.
Maybe so. Maybe they want more
upset
mentions
at
China.
The lack of
we haven't even talked about Hong Kong.
No.
Because, of course, I get all the time I get tweeted at by people saying, why does the mainstream media never do anything about the Gilets Jaunes in France, but all they always cover the Hong Kong riots?
Yeah.
I don't actually know the answer to that.
I suspect it's the British colony thing, isn't it?
Well, partly that. It's partly the fact that the Gilets Jaunes have been going on for such a long time.
Yeah.
But, you know, you see all these clips on Twitter, and I never know whether they're genuine or not, really, because you can't tell. That you know, there's kind of the defenestration of the media in this country has now worked to the point where, I mean, I've always only trusted specific sources, and I certainly don't want to look at a Twitter video, assume that it's true.
Yeah.
Assume that it's the time they say it's right.
Because
there's been a good example of that over the weekend. In fact, your mate David Lammy tweeted out a picture, a video of Boris Johnson walking into conference in Manchester, it's a Tory Party conference, with loads of protesters throwing loads of shit at him. Right.
Right.
Now it turns out that it's an old bit of footage from a previous conference, not this one.
Right.
May have been in Manchester. We're not really sure. But he's also then sort of saying what a great idea it is to throw stuff at the Prime Minister. You know, this is a guy who's been telling
everyone... Did he really say that?
Yeah, more or less. I mean, you know, Piers Morgan tweeted him back saying, you know, you are the most irresponsible,
outrageous
man.
Yeah, yeah.
Because you not only have you got this down as the wrong conference, which is fake news, but you're also now basically endorsing the hurling of stuff at the Prime Minister.
I thought it was weirdly uncharacteristic of Piers to start steaming in on someone on Twitter.
It's very unusual for him, but I mean, obviously he must have had a bit of a spare moment in between counting his money.
But it is easily done, though. I mean, I remember there was a brilliant, brilliant, brilliant piece of investigation by a unit in the BBC
that
had been set up to kind of verify photographs and stuff. And
there was
a case of a murder in some African country, and I can't remember which one. I think it was Burundi or something like this. And there was a photograph on it of it, and they couldn't pinpoint exactly where it was.
Right.
But they used Google Earth,
the
triangulation of the shadows,
and
all of this other kind of ancillary stuff, and they pinpointed this village where it happened.
Really?
And then they went to it, and it was amazing.
That's terrific. Yeah. See, that's the kind of stuff I like to see, because what I don't want to do is discourage people from sharing information. But there is a lot of fake stuff out there, and you have to be really careful that you don't get involved in retweeting stuff. And if I have ever done it in the past, and I probably have once or twice, and then you discover that it's wrong, I immediately take it down.
You know what one of my big things is media literacy in schools. And I honestly think, if you look back over the last 3 or 4 years, so much could have been forestalled if we had much better sort of civic literacy, political literacy and media literacy. If that was taught in primary schools and upwards, how does news happen?
Yeah.
You know, why is that headline saying the complete opposite of that headline on the same, based on the same facts?
Yeah.
Or, you know, what is it?
Can you imagine
about media?
Who would teach that? Because the teachers that a lot of people talk about, and a lot of teachers have in schools, would be the type of teachers that would be perhaps not entirely unbiased about precisely. Well, I mean, I know for a fact that there are teachers who will slag off certain newspapers to their kids and tell them, well, you don't want to read anything that's in that paper. Well, you know, I mean, I saw that one of your kids did a spoof paper, which is terrific, by the way. Yeah. As I said, far more unbiased than the New European. And, you know, my oldest son's at school at the moment, 15, doing a media course, and they're making like little radio shows and doing little TV stuff. So there's I think it's getting better, but I think it very much depends where you are, doesn't it?
Yeah. I just think there's so many people out there, and this isn't saying people are ignorant, but I just think it's become so much more important in the last decade to understand exactly what you've just said, this tidal wave of bullshit that can engulf you.
Well, I've been fighting off, I would say, for about the last week and a half, tweets from people saying, we're hearing that Rahima Begum is being secretly smuggled back into Britain. Absolute utter bollocks, right? Total crap. But it does the rounds on all the social media, and people start, you know, tweeting things out that they think prove that it's true. And is there a D notice on this? You see this more quite a lot now. You know, I've never seen a D notice in my life on anything, right? This was a device that was invented by government during wartime to prevent information from being disseminated wrongly, right? Now, I'm sure that there have been things denoticed in the past, but not in my lifetime. Certainly not when I was editing anything.
And I've never been handed in my time,
anything. I mean, I've certainly been handed injunctions before, which come from individuals normally, so that you can't write something about them. Super injunctions, which come from individuals that you don't even know.
That's right.
Except for everybody finds out because it's on the super injunction list. Which was one of the great things I always
thought.
Right. But, you know, there's so much suspicion now. Unfortunately, the mainstream media, as it's known, is partly to blame, I think, for it.
Well, it sells papers, doesn't it? All this kind but the sense of conspiracy and sense of, you know, is this happening? Is you know, democratic life being completely undermined? Has so-and-so got this agenda? But it's all great grist to the mill, isn't it?
No, but also an awful lot of the kind of political reporting now and political questioning and interviewing is, to my mind, no longer, I would say, completely neutral in the way that it should be. I mean, Andrew Neil, to me, still is the greatest interviewer of all on every platform that you wish to use, because he gives everybody a hard time.
Yeah.
But that's not true of all of them.
No, that's right. Someone told me about Andrew Neil. They said he's in the BBC, you know, obviously they've got loads and loads of great political interviewers and, you know, big swinging guys who fancy themselves as the top dogs. Andrew Neil is the only one that never needs any prep from a researcher.
Yeah.
He does all his own prep.
Yeah.
He knows everything inside out. Nobody can tell him anything.
Yeah.
And as you, I would sooner watch Andrew Neil test, even though I disagree fundamentally with his politics. But my God, he would be the last person I'd want interviewing.
Oh, for sure. Yeah. And I'm the same in a way, because I don't want to be handed stuff. I mean, you know, if I ask a question sometimes and go, what's the story with the last bill that was passed on this, you know, then I'll get a bit of sort of detailed information. But most of it, you have to have it in your head if you're interviewing people, because you can't rely on what's written in front of you, because if you don't know it, you're not going to come back at them.
But
you know?
Also, I've always thought that journalists, you know, we occupy this kind of space which we sort of think of ourselves as above the audience, you know, and we're explaining stuff to the audience. I often think it's good if you do ask the questions that the audience would ask.
Absolutely.
You know. And you know, that is the skill of a great radio interviewer.
Well, one of the reasons that my show is on the up at the moment, and long may it continue for all the people listening to us on radio, is that I'm not part of that Westminster elite bubble, where I don't go drinking with the MPs. I don't go hanging around with the... somebody told me the other day about a bar in London where all the kind of spads go and all political journals go, somewhere near Embankment Station.
Yeah.
And I was with this guy. He goes, you want to come? I was like, no. Well, that's a fucking place I want to go. Why would I want to hang around with those people? You know, they're not my kind of people. They're all geeks, you know. Yeah. The Charlotte Edwards of this world, you know, who's going to tell me that she got touched up by Boris Johnson 20 years ago.
Well, do you not believe
her? And, well, she may well have been. I don't know. I've no idea. It's not a it's not for me to believe her or not believe her. I find it a bit odd that she hasn't said anything about it for a while.
Well, apparently she said it. She said it at the time to another journalist.
To another journalist who was also thought to be, apparently, until quite recently, was thought to be, believe it or not, this is where it all comes full circle, the woman who Dominic Cummings is married to.
Oh, really?
Who at the time was also working for The Spectator. She's come out, however, and said wasn't her.
Right, interesting.
Not that it didn't happen, but that she wasn't there.
But it's not like... all right, you always take this very decent, I think, line about, I don't know, so, you know. Yeah. But if you're looking at a guy with a history of form like Boris Johnson... Yeah. And
I wouldn't be surprised if he did it.
Yeah, and someone like her coming... And if he did do it, I mean, I was going to... put this to you today. Yeah. You know, how much does it take before you say this guy is just not Prime Minister
material? Well, first of all, you don't know what he did, though, right? So,
but we know plenty of what he does do.
Well, her description of what he did doesn't really absolutely describe it to me. I don't know what that means. Now you could, let's just break it down completely and utterly by the facts that we know.
Yeah.
If he's got his hand on her leg, right?
Under the table.
If his hand has pinched her skin, as she says, I presume she's not wearing any tights. Right. Now, I don't want to get too graphic about this, but I also assume she's wearing quite a short skirt.
Well, I don't know. I mean, he might.
That's what I mean. We don't know. Well, we don't know.
Anyway, he's got his hand on bare flesh, hasn't he?
This is my point. Yeah. But if she's wearing a miniskirt,
are you saying that? And go on. Explore that without.
What I'm going to say to you is that if she's wearing, say, a longer skirt, or a longer dress, and he's got his hand under the dress, then that's clearly more serious than if he's got his hand on her thigh, because her thigh is exposed.
Okay. I know that's Thank God for that. I thought you were going to go down the she was asking for it route.
Of course, that would be wrong. Yeah, even though it was 1999, you know. No, but my point is that the circumstances of all of these things are very different.
But let me ask you a question. Yeah. Would you ever put your hand on the thigh of a woman sat next to you in a dinner table?
No.
I mean, would you ever
not
do
unless
it?
Unless she asked me to. And if she asked me to, I would.
Yeah, no, Nash, you know.
I've never ever put my hands on a woman
Without being openly invited.
Yeah.
But, you know, why don't... Okay, let's pursue it a little bit. Why wouldn't you ever do that?
Because it's not the sort of way I behave.
But because it's grossly indecent, isn't it?
Well, it's not grossly indecent.
Well, I'm not saying it's gross indecency, but it is an indecent act.
It's certainly creepy, weird, not something that I would do.
So are you happy that our Prime Minister's the kind of guy that may...
Well, there you go, you see. That may do that. I don't know if he's done it. It makes a big difference. You can't just say... It's not the same thing to say that are you happy that your Prime Minister is the sort of person that might do something like that? Can you say with any surety he's the kind of person that does do that?
We know that he's the kind of person
everybody
that shags
knows
around,
that Boris
lies
Johnson
about,
shags around, okay?
And lies about shagging around.
Well, most people who shag around have to lie about it because they're married. I mean, that goes with the territory. But, I mean, I don't think that anybody out there... comes any great surprise to them that Boris Johnson shagged loads of women.
Yeah.
I mean, look who he's got. I've told you, we went down this road at the very start of this podcast
series with
Carrie Simmons, his younger girlfriend, and I said, I'm not sure that's the type of girlfriend that the Prime Minister should have.
Not because
she's a horrible person.
But she's done quite well keeping her head down.
She's done very well, and she's obviously an asset to him because when, for example, he's tweeting out about, you know, killing off trophy hunting and making sure that, you know, Britain is the leader of the world in stopping people from shooting beautiful exotic animals.
Yes.
That's clearly something she's very, very hot on.
Yeah.
So she's influencing him. Now, you might say that's not very democratic.
Mm.
Be like the 2-for-1 Hillary Clinton scenario.
Yeah.
You know, but if I vote for Boris Johnson, I don't want Carrie Simmons, telling me that I shouldn't be shooting giraffes. I don't want to go and shoot a fucking giraffe.
Well, if I vote for Boris Johnson, I don't want Nigel Farage whispering in his bloody ear either, which is what's happening. Anyway.
Well, you say that. I have no evidence for that. How do you know that?
Well, okay, let's suppose that the Tory party...
I had your mate Alistair Campbell on the show the other day.
Oh, did you?
You had to cut him off because...
because he was saying something you didn't agree with?
No, not at all. I don't do that, as you well know. We had to go live to the Labour Party conference because somebody was speaking. And I said, look, really sorry, Alistair, I'm going to cut you off.
With a shadow deputy trade secretary.
But he started trying to give me lessons in spin, right? He said to me, the trouble with people like you, Mike, is you don't allow anybody to say anything that you don't agree with. And if you don't agree with them, then you just say they're wrong.
Right.
I said, look, I don't need to take any lessons from you, mate, about fucking spinning words.
And
I called him the king of the word twisting.
Yeah.
I thought was rather good.
Brilliant.
Yeah.
I mean, you look back at, I mean, God, even though you disagree with what they were going about, I assume, I mean, the level of professionalism in Downing Street at that time, mm-hmm. Blair and Campbell and the rest of them was night and day different to
today. Well, I mean,
today.
This is what I was saying about him before, yeah. that, you know, they did not brook, in fact, I had this row with Charlie yeah. Faulkner, you know, they yeah. did not brook very much dissent.
No.
But he said, well, we never threw anybody out of the party. We didn't need to. They had a massive majority.
That's true. Yeah.
You could dispatch them to the back benches and pay no attention to them.
That's right.
But I don't think we should be taking any lessons in morality from the likes of Jeremy Corbyn. He's also a shagger, by the way. How many times yeah. has he been married?
Yeah, three, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah, when he went on holiday with Diane Abbott, right, which is not a bad yeah. thing necessarily. But he's clearly cheated on one or two wives in the past, yeah. otherwise he wouldn't have been remarried.
Yeah.
You know, nobody gives him a hard time for being a womaniser.
Well, I'm sure it's on the list, but there's about 44 things above it.
Well, that's true.
Yeah.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woohooer, a hand clapper, a high fiver? I kind of like the high five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino-style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses, so don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void or prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
But the same with, you know, people like John McDonald, lecturing people about the sort of language that you should be using.
Yes.
When he's previously called for the lynching of politicians. I mean, yes. there's so much hypocrisy. It's you don't know where to look.
Did you
I just think, as far as Boris is concerned, yeah. you know, I don't think the bulk of the population anymore cares.
Well, I think that's tragic, and I agree with you. But I think it's tragic that we have priced in, as they say, like the fact that he is a reprehensible character.
Well, you say he's a reprehensible yeah. character because why?
Because he's a liar, he's a cheat, he's threatened to help beat up journalists.
Well, he's never threatened anybody.
Yes, he has. In a conversation with his mate that was recorded, he said, I'll help you out.
Yeah, yeah, of course he said that. Doesn't mean he did it, though.
No, but he's the kind of guy that would encourage that kind of talk, you know.
The point is, you say that because you don't like him, okay? It's nothing.
I don't like him because he says that.
You know, because we're now judging people on their politics. You're not judging him on any of these events. You're judging him on whether you like him or not.
Here's where
if you did like him, and if he was a fucking Remainer,
yeah.
you'd go, oh, it's all right. He's all right.
I hate Sergio Ramos for costing us the European Cup, but I'd love to have him in the Liverpool team.
Yeah, and then when he's in the Liverpool team, you don't mind that he's a dirty, stinky, horrible player because he's always pulling people down and doing anything to make his team win.
Fair enough.
So football has now inveigled politics.
I'm not saying I'm beyond, you know, subjectivity.
I'm the equivalent of VAR.
Are you? So you're totally neutral.
I can be completely neutral. I can be. I had somebody on today, and I said, you know, look, here's the thing. I care an awful lot more about the pole dancing woman than I do about Charlotte Edwards.
Yeah. Okay, right, if it turns out,
yeah. and again, he's denied this, and he said that they had nothing in terms of conflict of interest.
It was just technology lessons.
Technology lessons. You know, I'm not saying I believe that. Fairly sure that there were Ugandan discussions going on. I don't think there's much doubt about that. However, I don't care about that either. Really, he's married. That's his business. Mm. What I do care about is if he's giving public money out to anybody that he happens to be shagging. And they are in receipt of that money because of that. Mm. Then that is wrong.
Well, I think
I would not stand over that.
I think he is absolutely in danger of going to jail on this. And I'm not being. Guilty.
You're sounding a bit like the Democrats for Trump now. I mean, people are starting to talk about impeaching.
No,
Boris
Mike,
Johnson.
Mike. If he is found guilty of abuse of public office, he'll go to jail.
Yeah, but there's
no
doubt
about that.
Don't worry, they've been saying this about Donald Trump
guilty. But Trump's thing about, I mean, what's different about the Trump situation now is it is about one absolutely identifiable complaint that he asked this guy to.
No, but the entire
and
Trump
the same
administration.
With Boris Johnson.
No, but that's my point. The whole Trump administration has been dogged. Since day one.
On this on Russian thing, yeah.
Not just on Russia, but on all sorts of things. Yeah. On the Mueller report, you know, what's in the Mueller report? Once the Mueller report comes out, he'll be going to jail. Yeah. Mueller report comes out, guess what? He doesn't go to jail.
No, fine,
you
I accept
know,
that.
The Russian incident in the hotel that we hear so much about, we probably shouldn't mention, you know, did that happen? I don't know. I've spoken to journalists who swear that it did happen. Right. And once the video comes out, he'll have to go to jail. Yeah. It's disgusting, la, la, la. Again, nothing.
But
right.
so let's you're moving the goalposts. Stick to Boris.
Well, what I'm saying is we're getting the same thing now.
If he's investigated by the police and they decide there is a case to answer.
Okay, that's one if.
Right, yes. Okay, so let's just assume that.
Because how many ifs you've got?
He is being investigated by the police.
Well, so the file has been handed to the police.
They are either going to come back and say, we think there's cause to investigate or there's no cause to investigate.
But this is like saying, the police are investigating because somebody's made a phone call to the police to say,
but it's much
you
more
should
than
investigate.
That. No, it's much more
no,
than
it isn't.
That. Come on, it is much more than that. We know facts about this. We know this woman is a bit of an unknown quantity. She has no...
Is that a fact now?
Yes, it is.
Well,
because
the fact that she's an unknown quantity?
Yes.
How is that a fact?
Because she has no great background in technology. She has no... There's, you know, there is no antecedent to her being handed.
She's been
huge...
in a Bombay film. She's been in a Hindu film.
Right, so here, suddenly you've got this woman who Boris Johnson, as you admit, you're fairly certain that there were Ugandan discussions.
I haven't admitted anything.
You said you were pretty... A minute ago, you said...
It means nothing.
Pretty
that
sure.
means nothing.
No, so he... But yes, but let's...
Of course he's shagged her. Right. That means nothing to me. No, I don't know
Mike,
that.
The two...
But I don't know that.
I couldn't care less whether he was shagging her or not.
Okay.
But if he was shagging her, and that was part of the reason that she got awarded this 112
that's
grand,
exactly what I've said.
He should go
but
to
that's
jail.
That's another if.
Yes, but it's not a massive if.
Well, it's still an if, though. It doesn't have to be a massive if.
But we'll see what happens.
We will see.
Yeah.
I don't think he was going to jail anytime soon. In the same way
is that
I don't
come
think
down
Donald
to
Trump... Trump
next 3 months,
no,
6 months?
No, well, I mean that. I don't think he's going at all.
Right.
You know, and in the same way, I don't think... I think this hijacking of politics by legality and by lawyers is entirely wrong. Because what you're telling me is that you and your fucking barrister mates are going to spend the rest of your life trying to find something on this guy.
No.
And until you've got him, you'll just keep doing it.
No.
Yeah, you will.
I'm not doing anything.
Yeah, you will. You and Gina Miller and bloody Julian Morn, all these people that spend their entire lives fucking trying to stop Brexit by any means possible.
Right.
Because they've become obsessed. Dangerously obsessed. I'd lock Julian Morn up before I'd lock Boris Johnson up.
Really?
Because I
ground?
Think he's a danger to democracy.
On what ground?
He's a danger to democracy.
What law has he broken?
He hasn't broken any law, but
so
he's a danger to democracy.
Now, who's the danger to democracy if you're going around locking up people who've broken no laws?
Well, because he's about to, and that's what they want to do.
Oh, so it's now
yeah.
it's the thought police.
Yeah,
isn't
it is the thought police. Yeah. This is what they've actually been saying about Boris Johnson. There's this guy, Dale Vince, right, the ecotricity guy.
Yeah.
He's launched a lawsuit with the help of my learned friend Julian Morn in Edinburgh, right, to prevent Boris Johnson from doing something that he hasn't done. What do you call that?
Well, I mean, I think it's good.
Well, you think that's good?
Yeah.
Because it's against Brexit.
Yeah.
You see, that's my point.
I think
I want
be...
to lock up Julian Morn before he does anything else stupid and either harms himself or democracy.
Right.
The same principle, isn't
right,
it?
Right, right.
Isn't that the same principle?
No, it's not.
It is
at all.
A thing. Because
it's
he
not...
hasn't still.
How you can argue with a straight face that a man who has been who has won a case in the Supreme Court 11-0 is.
Who has?
Julian Morn.
Oh, he's won that case, has he?
Yes, he has.
Oh,
won
it
that
wasn't
case.
Con de Rea.
No, it was Julian Morn.
No, bollocks, wasn't it?
And Gina Miller. Anyway, who cares who it was? The point is that the case he backed, and I know for a fact that he put huge amounts of effort in. He's got this thing, the Good Law Project.
Yeah, he's obsessed.
Yes, well...
He's obsessed.
Well,
come
obsessed
on.
Is a very pejorative term for
no,
saying
not.
He is very concerned and is trying to do something.
No, he's obsessed.
Am
right?
I obsessed?
No, you're not. You're perfectly normal. I'm not worried about you.
But
you
I launched a bloody
free.
Newspaper.
You could stay free. Yeah, but you understand the
I
nuances.
Can stay free.
You understand the nuances. When the revolution comes, right, you won't be put
mate,
up against
if,
the wall.
If the revolution comes,
you
I'll
won't
be,
you won't
I'll
be
in bloody Sri Lanka before you can say
well, don't go to China because they're going to interview you. Here's the thing. The point about all of this, right, is that you are very measured. People are even saying this about our podcast.
Too thing, measured.
That the people who are actually really, really anti-Ramonas, right, they'd really like you. And they think that you're reasonable because you're not like people like Julian Morn and Alistair Campbell because they're obsessives.
It's a cause of deep concern to me.
Yeah, I can see that. Yeah. But, I mean, the fact remains is it is possible to be passionate about something without being like some kind of fucking drone. And I'm sorry, but this Julian Morn guy is a nutcase when
you
it comes
just,
to Brexit.
You've had a row with him on Twitter.
I haven't had a row with him. He's blocked me on Twitter. How can I have a row with him? These people block me because they can't argue with me. These fucking barristers think they're so clever, but they're actually not that clever.
Well,
you know, the secret barrister, I told you, threatened to sue me for libel.
Really?
Yeah.
What did he say about it?
Because I said I'd written some tweet about, you know, some more lies from the Ramonas. Or something like that.
Yeah, yeah.
And this bloke, and I think it might be a woman actually, the secret barrister, I'm not sure, you may know.
I've no idea.
Part of your cabal of
it's
remains,
me.
You know.
It's me, they're all
you?
Me.
Yeah.
Like,
And anyway, so he threatens to sue me, right? Yeah. I was blocked before I got out of bed in the morning.
Really?
You know, because I said, well, here's a little lesson in law for you, Mr. Secret Barrister. Mm. Since you're fucking anonymous, I can't actually libel you, so fuck off. Right? And so he blocked me. mean, these people are ridiculous. Totally and utterly. They write these long... Have you seen what they write on Twitter? I know you're not on it anymore.
Yeah, no, these monster threads.
These monster threads that go... Yeah. It's like writing about a 55-page dissertation.
I must be honest. Twitter. I really agree with that. I mean the whole point of Twitter was it was meant to be short.
Yeah. What are you doing?
People are putting up their theses on Twitter.
You know, what are you doing? Get a life. Yeah. Have you got a family?
Yeah.
You know, have you got children to talk to?
Yeah.
I mean, you know, really.
But don't you think that... If something's this important, then shouldn't we say, all right, you know, maybe we're not as driven as those people. But,
but you know what the problem is that these people have made it so important in their own lives that they've actually put so many other people off it that people now would rather just do anything.
Well, I think literally, there's some truth to
what
that.
What they've done
is
they've now forced the issue to where people are in great support of Boris Johnson, regardless of whether he's a shagger, regardless of whether he's paid taxpayers' money to some... floozy that he was hanging about with, right? Yeah. And I apologise to any feminists who might not like that word, but, you know, you'll be mostly lefties, so you won't mind. The point is, right, that, you know, we've got this situation now where people are saying, I don't care what Boris has done, let's just get Brexit done.
Yeah.
And I actually, that's counterproductive.
I think that's right.
In a way.
And that's that is a real concern from my point of view. Here, let me move it on slightly. Guess what I did on... When was it? Thursday night.
What did you do on Thursday
night? I went to number 10 Downing Street.
Did you?
As a guest of Boris Johnson.
My goodness me.
I did.
You see, you're part of the establishment.
I'm now part of the establishment.
Wow. Did you meet Dominic Cummings?
I didn't know. Well, I'll tell you what it was. It was the... Because my other hat that I wear is that I'm the chief content officer of a group of regional and local papers and magazines. Right. And this was the annual kind of regions and nations gathering of the great and the good. So a couple of observations. One is that all the journalists in there, 90% middle-aged white men, right? Very little diversity, all looking tremendously worried and slightly ill, you know, about the state of the industry. And
these are all the regional guys you're talking about?
Yeah. And when Boris Johnson came in, this is what really concerned me from the night. Boris Johnson came in and I was determined to hate him, right? And he stood up and he spoke for about 3 minutes, was very funny.
Yeah.
And at the end of it, I involuntarily found myself clapping, right? And I thought, what
this is
the thing. Are you doing?
Yeah.
But this is what terrifies me about him. He didn't say anything of substance. He made a few good jokes. His comic timing is immaculate. And people just look at him and think, what a funny guy, great guy. But that's not the quality I'm looking for in a prime minister. Especially
but imagine
this time
how boring it would have been if Theresa May was there.
Yeah, but I'm looking back at Theresa May as the good old days now.
Yeah, but Theresa, nobody knows where she is. She's not even at Tory Party conference. You know, people were saying to me the other day, oh, well, she's probably just taking it easy. You know, I said, well, why would she do that? You know, she's got now the greatest opportunity to go and do something that she actually wants to do.
What, cricket?
I don't know what that would be. Yeah. You know, fixing potholes was the last thing I saw her do. You know, head staring into a pothole in Maidenhead. I'm going, what the hell are you doing? You're still Prime Minister, you know. But this is the thing. I mean, you know, that day when he went to Whips Cross Hospital and the other plank of a lawyer got up and started having a go at him. You've killed the NHS, it's been destroyed. Oh, yeah, well, actually, they've just fixed your kid up. So, you know, why don't you fuck off and shut up?
Well, to be fair to him, he got... So he was kind of, quotes, exposed as a Labour activist.
Well, he was a Labour activist.
Yeah, but to be fair to him, he came on and defended Boris Johnson.
Yeah, he did,
so,
in the end.
Look, you know.
Well, he did in the end, but, the other footage, and here's where it gets interesting about the way the media covers events.
Yeah.
What we didn't see, but we did later see on Twitter, on the BBC, was the fact that when Boris arrives at the hospital, all the nurses are out hugging him, kissing him, welcome Prime Minister, they love it, like you. Yeah. They saw him, they met him, and they thought, what a great guy.
Mm.
But that's what you don't see. All you see are the people who are having a go at him, trying to embarrass him, like the guy. I mean, there was some doubt, wasn't there, about the guy who said, why don't you get out of my town?
Yes.
It wasn't even clear if that's what he actually said.
Wasn't it?
No.
Oh, no, I thought it was fair.
Well, no.
Well, Boris Johnson said, I'll be gone soon.
Yeah, yeah. No, but what I'm saying is that, you know, these little snapshots of what we see, what we are then told is happening in the media, are not at all representative of what's happening in the rest of the country.
I think that's true.
And when you go to places like Manchester or Rochdale, like poor old Gordon Brown did when he got caught out by that bigoted woman, as he called her, you know.
Yeah.
You know, it's a very different world out there than the one that you and I inhabit, but also the one that you and I see.
The brevity of message and people's attention spans have contracted.
Well, the new mantra now is get Brexit done.
Yeah.
Right?
And you hear it all
the time. I've interviewed about 3 Tory politicians this week already, and they've said it each about 10 times.
Did you see Dominic Cummings in that YouTube video?
Well, the Carl Turner one.
Yeah.
Well,
you say, get Brexit done.
Yeah.
Arrogant twat.
Not at all. No. Do you know who Carl Turner is?
Yes, I do know
he
who Carl Turner
is. You want an arrogant twat? No, well, that's one for you.
By the way, most MPs are, in my experience.
Guess what?
What?
He's blocked me as well. Carl Turner. I tell you what, it's literally, could not make this stuff up.
Oh, mate.
Right? It's unbelievable.
Why? You're like Mario Balotelli. Yeah.
We got into this row, right? It was when Hull got made the City of Culture.
Yeah.
And I took the piss out of Hull, basically. Because the one thing they could manage to do... Do you remember? They brought this fucking great propeller into the town.
Yeah.
And set it up as if it was some great piece of art, you know? Yeah. So I just basically... I said, the only thing I can tell you about Hull is the only time I've ever been there, I sat in a pub and I watched somebody order a pizza with chips on it. And that's all I remember about Hull, really, to be honest. And I've never seen that kind of pizza anywhere else, right? So he got this row. And then he started with this anti-Murdoch thing. Yeah, you work for the Murdoch organisation, this, that, and the other, started slagging me off. I then discovered that he had been brought to book a couple of times earlier in his career. Once for rather inappropriately touching a woman's backside in his office.
Oh, really?
So I know how much you hate people that inappropriately touch women.
I certainly
do. So you would now be against Carl Turner, obviously.
Yeah.
And he also said to a woman who had had a double mastectomy as a result of breast cancer that you should have kept your old tits because they were very attractive. Oh,
well, I mean...
That's what he was accused of saying.
Well, if he said that, and now I'm the one saying if he said that, he's a dickhead.
Well, you can find it.
No two ways about that.
He is a dickhead, there's no question.
But nevertheless...
And also, what was he doing? Filming himself, going...
Well, someone else was filming him, wasn't
he? Oh, right.
Yeah, I know, it was obviously...
It was a setup.
Yeah, but why does Dominic Cummings have to stand there, leaning arrogantly against this pillar and just say, get Brexit done to
him? Well, my favourite thing he said to him was, who are you? That was the best.
But he must have known. He said, I don't know who you are, but he must have known who he was.
Why would he know who Carl Turner is?
Well, then
Carl Turner's a fucking nobody.
Why is he shouting, get Brexit done to him, if he doesn't know he's an MP?
Because he told him he was an MP, didn't he?
No, he said that before. He told him he was an MP. Well, anyway, so I don't believe either of them.
Well, he might have known he was an MP without knowing exactly who he was. That's entirely possible. But yes, I mean, the bottom line is that, you know, these guys who are all going around saying we've had death threats and the whole Joe Cox thing, which is also terribly sad to see people descending onto the kind of the bare bones of the floor.
Yeah.
That's how low it's got. To accuse Boris Johnson of using language that's causing people to be killed. I mean, that's ridiculous.
Well, I think what they were saying...
were saying they're getting death threats from people who are picking up on the language that he's using, and therefore somehow he's to blame. That was the story.
I think everybody's become hypersensitive to language in a way that is...
Well, except
really
anybody searched them.
Yeah.
Only
did you see the Toby Young thing?
You saw Jess Phillips, didn't you?
Yeah,
and the footage of her going around saying, I'd stab Jeremy Corbyn in the front.
That's right.
Yeah, but that's all right then.
Yeah, but that's a figure of speech.
Of course it is. Well, how is surrender not a figure of speech?
Well, it was... I'm not disagreeing with you. I'm saying, yes, I think it's all a load of bollocks.
It
right?
is.
But there is a difference in those two things where... But this shows you how people trawl back through history and they find something that looks like you can vaguely latch onto. Everyone then says... Oh, she said it too.
Yeah.
Well, she didn't at all. She just said, I wouldn't stab him in the back, I'd stab him in the front.
Nobody in their right mind watching Jess Phillips saying that would think she's going to stab anybody.
Exactly.
I'm not suggesting that.
Yeah.
But my point is, it's a bit hypocritical
to
then go after somebody to say that they can't use other words that you don't like.
But the charge...
Because politically it's against you.
The charge against Johnson is that the language he's using is like a dog whistle to people who... are stoked up by this kind of thing.
Well, why can't people be stoked up? There's plenty of people who could be stoked up to stab Jeremy Corbyn by her saying that, if that's the line you're going to take.
Not really, I don't think.
Well, not really, I don't think you think for any of it.
Well, so here's the real difference. Mm. The charge, and I don't know whether it's true or not, but the charge is that this kind of language is coordinated, cynical and deliberate. Jess Phillips' language was just... figure of speech.
So if it's coordinated, it's bad. If it's uncoordinated, it's good.
Put it this way. If it's coordinated with the intent to get people angry in the streets,
so
it's awful.
When Jeremy Corbyn, in his speech to his conference, talks about selling off the NHS to Donald Trump,
Bollocks,
is that coordinated?
Yeah. Yes, it is. And that's just as unhelpful.
Yeah, but you're convincing lots of people, lots of these Marxist twats standing there listening to him, who think he's telling the truth, who actually think that Donald Trump's going to come in and buy the NHS.
So I agree with that completely. It's awful.
So the whole world
it's not a left versus right thing. They're all at it.
They are.
You know?
And it's the paucity of intelligence, I'm afraid, which is causing this to happen.
Which brings me back, and we can end on this note, because we'll agree on it, which brings me back to the very big need for people to get some media literacy in their lives and understand what makes all this shit work.
Yes, they could start with the TV companies of this country, but that's another story.
See you next week.
See ya.
Let me ask you a question. Yeah. Would you ever put your hand on the thigh of a woman sat next to you in a dinner table?
No.
I mean, would you ever
do
that?
Unless she asked me to.
And if
she asked me to, I would.
Yeah, no, natch. You know. But I mean,
no, I've never ever put my hands on a woman.
Yeah, without being openly invited.
Yeah.
But, you know, why don't... Okay, let's pursue it a little bit. Okay. Why wouldn't you ever do that?
Because it's not the sort of way I behave.
But because it's grossly indecent, isn't
well,
it?
Well, it's not grossly indecent.
Well, I'm not saying it's gross indecency, but it is an indecent act.
It's certainly creepy, weird, yeah. Not something that I would do.
So are you happy that our Prime Minister's the kind of guy that may...
Well, there you go, you see. That may do that. I don't know if he's done it. It makes a big difference. You can't just say, it's not the same thing to say, that are you happy that your Prime Minister is the sort of person that might do something like that? Or can you say with any surety, he's the kind of person that does do that? I don't know.
We know that he's the kind of person
Everybody knows that Boris Johnson shags around. Well, most people who shag around have to lie about it because they're married. I mean, that goes with the territory.
Right, so here, suddenly you've got this woman who Boris Johnson, as you admit, you're fairly certain that there were Ugandan discussions.
I haven't admitted anything.
You said you were pretty... A minute ago, you said...
It means nothing. Means nothing.
No, so he... But yes, but let's...
Of course he's shagged her. Right. It means nothing to me. No, I don't know
The two... But
I don't know that.
I couldn't care less whether he was shagging her or not.
Okay.
But if he was shagging her, and that was part of the reason that she got awarded this 112
grand... That's exactly what I've
said. He should go to jail.
That's another if.
Yes, but it's not a massive if.
Well, it's still an if, though. It doesn't have to be a massive if.
But we'll see what
we
happens.
We will see. Yeah. I don't think he was going to jail anytime soon. When the revolution comes, right, won't be put on against the wall.
If the revolution comes, I'll be in bloody Sri Lanka before we can say
Well, don't go to China because they're going to hit you.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper? A woohooer, a hand clapper, a high fiver. I kind of like the high five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At chumbacasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses. So don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions 18+.